If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Today on the Zabecast, Notorious J-A-Y and I discuss a wide variety of topics. Some of them are actually sports. The baffling meteoric rise of Cliff Kingsbury, why Jay hates Dabo, and more on the complicated Antonio Brown. All that plus a major sports book giving away money. A bonus hour of me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Wednesday, January 9, 2019. Thank you for downloading. Let's get right into it here. I got a tweet from one Mike Van Horn to say, "Hey, Zabe, I just listened to the latest Steakhouse Confidential." Actually, that was a couple of steakhouses ago. "Please tell me that you were kidding when you called bullshit, quote-unquote, on Lee Harvey Oswald actually being the one who shot JFK. Hashtag hopeful in Ohio." Well, I'm not big on conspiracy theories. Like, we never landed on the moon. It was a soundstage. Or what other popular conspiracy theories are out there? I don't know who shot JFK. All I know is it seemed very unlikely, given what kind of a shot it was. And with all the other questions that are, you know, that surrounded that actual historic event. Is it wrong that I should say, I say bullshit? I don't know the answer, but I don't believe it was what they said it was. Does that make me a kook, a quack, a weirdo, a small-minded person? Okay. Anyone who's been there and has been to the museum, get back to me and let me know. If I'm crazy, then you just tell me that. If I'm not crazy, if you've been there, if you know a thing or two about what actually happened and what the government said happened, and you're with me going, "Well, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't that," bullshit, let me know. Email from one Jason Janosik. "Zabe, I had a minimum 2-a-day, 5-hour habit just like you. $7 a day. It was killing me. Yeah, Sam's Club had cases of the stuff, but who wants to go to Sam's Club? Here's your answer. Aldi. I'm never one to use off-brand stuff, and I'm always iffy about it. Aldi, though, has an off-brand 5-hour energy drink that lines up better letter for letter with ingredients and nutrition of the real deal. The only difference in product is Aldi brand has 0.2 ounces more per tiny jug. The price..." Sitting down for this one, Zabe? 59 cents a bottle. Wow. "My life has not been the same. $3 cheaper per bottle, and I still get the same warm, fuzzy feeling. I buy dozens at a time now. Sincerely, Jason Janosik." My goal is to get off of it altogether. The real stuff, the fake stuff, you name it. But, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'm going to recommend something that I don't know if you people do on your own anyway. But here's something you should do. Look at more photo galleries about sports on the internet. I know you might say, I watch the game. Why do I need to see the photo gallery? As a pixel peeping photo nerd myself, who knows just enough about photography to be dangerous, I am now constantly blown away at the quality and the pristine nature of the images that are being captured by professional photogs now at sporting events, especially football and especially the NFL. First of all, as a subject matter, you cannot beat high-level football for a target-rich environment, because I'll look through galleries each week, and if you just Google search best of NFL week number 16, 17, 5, 8, whatever, it should come up as one of the first results. At least the NFL and their photogs will have a gallery. The reason that the NFL is such a great subject to photograph is there is spectacular action for 3 hours, or at least for intermittent spurts over the course of 3 hours. It is 22 grown-ass men, or very grown-ass young men, almost boys, but not really, colliding into each other at full force in random ways. So you get just spectacular still images of guys flying through the air, being upended, upside down. That's number one. No two pictures are ever quite the same because of the nature of football. The colors in football are spectacular. The colors with the uniforms and especially the helmets. God, do I love the helmets. The helmets that are shiny, that reflect. There's a gleam, men, there's a gleam. And you get such great dramatic sunlight quite often in the NFL. Late afternoon, late in the year, winter sun that is lower on the horizon. So you get very dramatic shadows, you get dramatic angles. It's just so good. And of course, the men that are taking these pictures and the women that are taking these pictures are incredibly talented. But at the same time, the equipment they're using is so good now. The lens technology is so good to get these images. And the sensor technology is so good. And the pixel counts. You're talking cameras that have upwards of 42 megapixels, which is more than anyone really needs. You know, if you're printing a billboard, okay, you want 42 megapixels. Don't need it, though, to be honest. But what happens is you get these super sharp sensors on all these cameras, and I'm a Sony guy, but you know, Canon and Nikon are the industry leaders, for the pros at least. And there's a lot of pro shooters using Sony. And they have such great sensors, and they have such high pixel counts, and the lenses are so good. And then the killer in all of this is you then have the fact that it's digital. So these guys can rattle, you know, they rattle off in, you know, high speed drive bursts, shots that capture just the right moment. It's come so far from the way a photographer used to be at sporting events, where the photogs didn't know what they had until they ran into the dark room to develop their prints in the bad old prehistoric days that were located inside the stadium. And they hoped they got something good. And they couldn't just take a million shots because film cost money. Digital now, it's free. And so they sit there, rattle off a bunch of shots. They probably take time in between plays to look at what they've got and go, okay, that's great. And then if the photo coming out of the camera is not pristine enough, they'll then tweak it, or an editor will tweak it in some sort of processing software to brighten it up and to enhance the dynamic range and everything else. It's so good. But take a moment to look for galleries, photo galleries of football games, any sporting event in this day and age, because the pictures are so good. It's a big, big part of being a sports fan is seeing those still photos. And while I don't want to break any copyright laws, these photos are so good. If you were to maybe do a screen capture, cut and paste, little editing, you could get them printed out for your man cave at a very decent size, and it would look fantastic. I'm not saying you should do that, because now you are stealing from these photogs and their livelihood. But if there's no way to buy a good picture of a particular sporting event or a team or a moment that you want, where there's a fair price, like, okay, for $30, I'll buy that print of Trevor Lawrence throwing a touchdown pass. I'm just saying, I might have done that once or twice. Remember how I said, oh, great, Dan Snyder is upgrading his yacht? Well, he's got a long way to go to match Jerry Jones. I believe Dan Snyder bumped up from a $65 million yacht to about an $85 million yacht. To which I say, is that Jay calling me right now? Why, it is Jay calling me. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Hello, Steve. How are you?
I'm actually recording some shoulder portions of today's Zabecast. When are you ready?
I am ready right now.
Well, then hold on just a second. Kids, we're gonna audible right out of this, and we're going to plug Jay in right now because we are rolling tape. Stand by, Jay. Hold on.
Hold on,
everybody. And there we go. And now say hello to the audience. Jay?
Hello, audience.
There you are. First of all, let's get a health update on Jay. A, are you dead? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, good. You're alive. That's wonderful.
I'm
wonderful
alive.
To hear.
Yes.
Excellent. And the doctors feel like they got a good bead on things?
I'm going to a specialist just to get a handle on all this. Friday.
Okay.
So we shall see.
But you feel better?
Yes.
You are on some immediate blood pressure reduction medications, right?
Yes, okay. I am, yes.
So if I may speak of this issue, and I'm going to tiptoe into this, Jay.
Okay.
Did you see where Kwame Lassiter died at 49 years old, former Arizona Cardinals safety, I want to say?
Kwame Lassiter? No, I did not see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he died of a heart attack or something. I mean, way too young, 49 years old and former athlete. And I forget who it was on Twitter. I think it was another athlete, African-American, who basically said, look, black men, we're too tough and we're too stubborn about seeing doctors, taking care of our health, and handling the shit we need to handle. Let's get it together, black men.
This guy is not tough. If the little thing go wrong, I'm going to the doctor.
Okay, so you're not of that. But in general, is there a sort of a cultural thing in which there's a resistance to kind of like, you know, take care of basic little health things?
Isn't that just men, period?
I think it is men, period, for the most part. We don't want to know. We would rather not want to know.
Well, I was talking to my brother about this, and he was saying, because men don't care to
Your phone stinks right now. I don't know what you're talking on. Maybe you got it tucked under your chin or something. I hate cell phones. They're just the worst. It's so angering. Go ahead, Jay.
I'm sorry. He was saying that men don't really care to know anything of the future. Something has to happen for us right away to worry about stuff. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Like, I worry about getting scans done to fit, you know. I almost don't want them to find the spider-like tumor that has invaded 6 regions of my body that is inoperable until it's inoperable. And then I'm like, okay, I'm out.
What's the worst way to go for you?
Jesus, you don't have enough time. You don't have enough time. Are you talking about dying, or are you talking about what's my biggest medical fear?
Medical, yes.
Well, I would say being paralyzed is my biggest medical
fear. Yeah, that one does suck. Yeah, I think that would be,
But
you know what? Having ALS is horrible.
Right.
That seems to be, yeah.
Yep. Because it's a slow descent
into
losing your faculties, and you know there's no stopping it.
Right. And you're aware of everything, but you can't be like your old self. It just seems that it is a crippling disease, but I'm just saying. The worst disease to have.
I think also what would be very tough is looking into the eyes of your loved ones and seeing reflected back at you their anguish and their fear and their worry. Because you would be like, hey, I've already come to terms with this, but my God, I don't want you to be losing sleep over this. But if you got people that love you, they're gonna. Period. End of story.
This may be the most depressing beginning to the Zabecast ever.
You know what? I think it's time for an NBA score right now to lighten things up, Jay. Huh? How about an NBA score to lighten the mood up?
How are the Terps in Minnesota doing? I switched away from that.
Oh, my God. I'm not even watching that right now. Pacers 63, Cavaliers, 43. Oh, by the way, I'm burping right now because I just wolfed down some barbecue.
Which I am not allowed to have. I can have stuff, but the salt.
They'd rather you not because of it. Yes. I understand. I shouldn't be doing it either. But I got barbecue and I got Kansas City burnt ends.
Oh.
I need to make a note. I don't really like Kansas City burnt ends. They're okay.
Really?
They're okay, but they're not really my thing. They're not going to supplant straight brisket as my number one barbecue meat. And I swear I've had burnt ends before, but it's been so long, I forgot I didn't really like them.
Have you ever had burnt ends and baked beans?
In the baked beans?
Yes. I don't know.
Baked beans with burnt ends put in there? I'm sure I have, and I'm sure that they're quite good.
It is one of the most delicious things I've ever had. Try it. And you'll like it, Mikey.
And you're never going to have it again now because you've got high blood pressure. Sorry, is that a bit morose?
That was a little dickish. Sorry.
Dick move! That was a dick move. 15 yards, unnecessary dickishness. We'll reset the down.
Though, I don't have to cut out sweets. I just have to cut out high sugar. High salt.
Okay. Do you have a sweet tooth?
Oh, my God, do I? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Me and you cursed with the sweet tooth. My brother-in-law has, like, zero sweet tooth. And I'm like, Jesus, why are you so fat, bro, when you don't even have a sweet tooth? Oh, we got another penalty. Unnecessary dick move. Another 15 yards. Reset the noun.
I met a fat vegan. How is that possible?
First week on the job?
I used to work with this guy at BAL who was a vegan, but he was fat as shit. I'm like, how is this possible? You're not doing it right somehow.
Well, if it's your first week, you got a ways to go, right?
No, but he said he was the donor for like 10 years.
And he's fat.
Fat as hell.
Shut up.
And not only fat, just slovenly fat.
Yeah, that's because in between eating his salads, he goes into his car on his lunch break and punches his fist into a brown paper bag full of Rolos up to his elbow and just because technically Rolos are not meat.
No, they are not. You're right.
Oh, shit. Hey, speaking of, let's get back to being morose again for a second.
Okay.
I talked about, the fear of course, being paralyzed. Maybe if I go see this uplifting Kevin Hart movie
with Bryan Cranston,
maybe that will then say, hey, being paralyzed up to your neck ain't that bad. Just find a funny black guy to help wheel you around.
And be a gazillionaire.
Right, that helps, yes. Be a gazillionaire, indeed. You going to go see that movie, The Upside?
I was talking to our friend who works on the Kornheiser show, who's also a movie reviewer. He's going to see that tonight.
By the way, let me just a little inside baseball here for everybody. Sterno is a friend of mine as well as Jay's. Jay's closer
to him.
He's your bestie, yes. but Sterno and I think we're hang-dye. We are tight. We're good.
You are very tight.
Yes, I just haven't worked with him in a while. And I have told Jay on repeated occasions, can we just get Stern with us to do some jam sessions on the Zabecast? And the answer
Nigel.
Is no.
Nigel, yes.
And the answer is Nigel, because the character Nigel and Sterno's entire online spoken word persona is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Tony Kornheiser podcast, prohibited from appearing on anyone else.
That is like the NFL prohibition. Yes.
Any accounts, descriptions, or likeness of this character without express written consent from Anthony Irwin Kornheiser is strictly forget about it.
Basically, that is correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't blame him. That's his property. But so Sterno, you're going to say you talked to Sterno about the movie The Upside.
Because, you know, he does that show with Arch Campbell and what is her name? And Hornaday. Yes, he does a movie review show.
Arch Campbell, for those that don't live in D.C., is a longtime former television local news movie reviewer.
Yes, and Hornaday works for The Post.
Also in movie reviews.
Yes.
Arch Campbell, and I think every market has had someone like this, Arch Campbell was and is an iconic local TV character from the 80s and 90s.
Right? Very true. You're very true. I didn't even live in the area, and I know that. Yes. Yeah.
He would get a couple minutes at the end of a broadcast, not even every night. I think it was only on Fridays, right?
I thought it was Thursday. You know what? No, you're right. It was Friday night. That's right, because Arch at the movies.
Maybe it was Thursday because you want to give people a day of lead time to line up going out on Friday night for the movies. Yes, this is back when movies were good and you'd go out to them and sit in the theater. But
with your popcorn and Rolos.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So he became huge in this town because he was quirky and goofy, and he had this very infectious laugh. And you know, he would give his sometimes he really hated a movie, he'd give it one star. Right, that was like the lowest he'd give it, or maybe zero stars sometimes. Who knows?
I think it was zero stars. Yes.
Yeah, but it was in the glory days of TV. He now does a podcast with Sterno, and so back to the movie itself. Are you going to go see the movie?
If he tells me, because I want to see if Kevin Hart has another pitch, instead of yelling and being loud.
It's either going to hit with you, or you're going to say you crazy. Kevin Hart is the Black Dane Cook. There, I said it. There it is.
Oh, no. I loathe Kevin Hart.
Is it fair to say that Kevin Hart is a guy who was deemed funny before anybody had the playbook to break it down and go, but wait a minute, there's no funny here.
Here's my test. Tell me your favorite Kevin Hart joke. Go. See? Can't do it because there isn't one.
How about bitches be spending? Isn't that his joke?
That is not bitches. I don't think that's his joke.
Okay. How about you're only as faithful as your options?
That's not him.
That's Chris Rock.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I can think of 10 Chris Rocks. I can think of 10
Chris Rock. Chris Rock doing spinner, you know, putting spinners on toasters. Right. And then they be spinning.
Chris Rock telling white people when it's appropriate to say the N-word is still one of the funniest things ever.
How about Chris Rock saying, if you find yourself on Martin Luther King Boulevard in any city,
it's never a good
run.
Thing.
Run. He's like, run. How about the joke about, he said, there's no such thing as a guy and a girl who are just friends.
No, you haven't fucked her yet.
You haven't fucked her yet.
Yet. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. So, there really is no great Kevin Hart material. Here's the thing. Let's say you were blind. Let's say you're Sandra Bullock in Bird Box, and you can't see Kevin Hart's expressions, his manic expressions with the crooked eyebrow and the side. Well, you know, he's good at the expressions. I'll give him that. If you couldn't see Kevin Hart, you'd say, where's the funny?
Exactly. He's a I guess he's a visual comic.
He's maybe Carrot Top. He's like an energy comic, but see, Dane Cook was the same way. Dane Cook had a manic energy to him that you got caught up in it, or at least crowds did. Of course, Dane Cook was a relentless self-promoter on college campuses, and so he got big with the younger crowd, and that's how he kind of built his thing. But then people started realizing there's no jokes in here.
You go, am I supposed to be laughing at this?
Right.
Because everybody else says he's funny, so I have to laugh at him.
And now you can't even build up a reputation on campus because nothing's funny anymore.
The PC crowd has killed all funny, yes.
Every comic across the spectrum, old school comics, new school comics, black comics, white comics, dirty comics, clean comics, they all say, Jay, I don't even book college campuses anymore. You can't go anywhere with any of your jokes.
And to piggyback really quickly, also, in the we're supposed to think this person's funny just because everyone tells us, Tiffany Haddish. Not funny, but everybody's trying to tell us that she's funny.
Boy, I don't even know who she is. Where'd she come from?
Girls Trip. She was the big star in that. She's everybody.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes, I see her.
Everybody. She's hot as hell. I'll give her that.
Right.
But not funny. Everybody tells you Tiffany Haddish is hysterical. Not funny.
The other day on the Zabecast, I played a snippet from the old Dennis Leary stand-up where he talks about NyQuil and how much he loves giant fucking Q, NyQuil. How it was harder than the drugs you could get illegally, basically. That's funny, right?
When Dennis Miller was funny.
Yes, exactly. Dennis Leary, and I still have this.
Oh, Dennis Leary, I'm sorry. I thought you said Dennis Miller, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Dennis Leary with his rant about beer mirrors and where guys are allowed to put them. I'm going to play it right now, Jay. You're not going to hear it, and then we'll rejoin in a second.
For guys, learn this. Even if you're just going to be living with a woman, you're not even married to her, give up any thought of being involved in the interior decoration of the place you're going to live in, okay? Just give it up. And all your stuff, put it in a storage place. Some places you're not going to see it. You're going to visit occasionally, okay? All your fucking sports mirrors and your beer mirrors, put them in storage. I've been to Wayne Gretzky's house. He's got 5 MVP trophies. You know where they are? They're in the fucking garage.
Good stuff right there, right?
I'm going to give you a bit of trivia. Dennis Leary, the only person to ever curse on the Steve Zabin first team on Fox.
Shut up. We had Dennis Leary once?
We had Dennis Leary on. He was promoting his Christmas album, and it was really early. That's not true. Triple H cursed once, too. But Dennis
we had
Leary,
Triple H on the show? How come I forget all these things? What's wrong with me?
If you knew how hard I worked, though.
I know. No, I know. These are great gets. Were you the one that got us Tom Cruise?
That was the great one himself, David Singer.
Okay.
I did not get, but I got Exhibit at the height of Pimp My Ride.
Did you really?
Yes. But nice. Quickly, so Dennis Leary was promoting a Christmas album. And it was, of course, for him, probably 6 a.m. And you ask him, it was like Merry Effing Christmas was the name of the CD. And you ask him what it's about. And he goes, you know, it's like when your fucking uncle comes over. And it's like, oh, God. Yeah. Yes.
Dump it.
Yes. That is it. And yeah, Triple H cursed again because it was early. We had Jim Ross. Dusty Rhodes.
Wow.
Triple H.
Remember when we met some of those guys? They were in town for a convention.
We had photos of those guys. Studio for an hour, and this guy, I had this guy on another show, and he remembered. We had Bobby the Brain Heenan.
No way.
And Jim Cornette for an hour. Yeah. You don't remember that?
No, I do, because I remember. I've got the photos of those guys.
That was my the best day ever.
Did I get your take on Mean Gene Okerlund? I don't think I did.
Yes, we did last week.
Oh,
yes.
We did. Okay. All right. See, yes. Good to know that I can't even remember shit that happened last week. It's really good.
Another great get. Remember the group Fountains of Wayne, Stacy's mom?
Yes, we had them on because of the song All Kinds of Time, which was used in the NFL Films promo of all the quarterbacks going back to throw a game-winning touchdown pass.
Which I will give you credit for that one because that was an awesome song. And that guy, it was like 2 days later they came on.
That was a good interview. And and they talked about how the inspiration for the song was just watching NFL games and how they, yeah.
No, you bringing all this stuff back. I'm laughing. I think if we ever do the Zave show rundown.
You mean retrospective?
Rundown, retrospective, okay. We had one of the guys who developed Grand Theft Auto.
Really?
And the interview lasted all of 6 minutes. Ask Galdi about this.
Oh, my God, what happened?
So... he comes on, this is blah, blah, blah from Rockstar Games and blah, blah, blah. And you ask him, when is this going to be ready for Xbox? And he goes, I don't know. And you hung up on him.
I hung up on him because I only had Xbox and I was pissed?
Yes. Ask Galdi remembers everything. He will remember that one.
Why would I do something that peevish and dickish? Like,
that was early Zay.
I guess it was. Zay.
That was very early Zane.
Oh, my God.
Funny, but not for me after working like 2 weeks on getting him.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. I got over it. We're not going to talk sports on this one, are we?
Why should we? Do you want to get your take on the national championship game?
Surprising. I still hate Dabo Swinney. By the way, Dabo, no, God does not care that you and Alabama were playing.
He's a man of faith. Come on now.
I'm so sick of, I like to thank the Lord that he was with us. So he chose you over Nick Saban. Is there a reason? come on, stop it.
Now, just, you know what people of faith are going to say, and that is, of course, God is not choosing sides. God is there for individuals to draw strength upon and to be a guide star for their life, so they can build a foundation upon which great things can happen to you and others around you.
Wow, you were ready for that answer.
I'm not even very religious, but I understand where they're coming from. I think Dabo, here's what you got to worry about. Oh, by the way, Mark Richt, that guy is a phony-ass Bible thumper, and I've known it all along. He quits on Miami. How great is this? Miami, they lose Manny Diaz to Temple. Diaz, at his press conference at Temple, says, this is my dream job, which is a fucking lie. Temple is not anyone's dream job.
Yeah, like Randy Etzel in Maryland. That's my dream job.
Right, exactly. And then, after the bowl games are done, Mark Richt's like, yeah, I think I'm done. What? Your coach in waiting just left because you were staying. So Miami has to go find $3.1 million to buy out Manny Diaz from his dream job, and 18 days later bring him back to Miami and install him as head coach. Fuck.
Wonderful.
Mark Richt. He should have been my fuck that guy for today, but he's not. But I always thought Mark Richt was that kind of phony, because every coach in the South, Jay, you can't have a coach in the South that doesn't talk God and Jeebus. Come on now.
That's your base.
But I think Dabo is cut from a more genuine cloth.
I just find him incredibly stupid, and he just rubs me the wrong way. Because when he talks about anything, he just sounds incredibly dumb.
That's so weird. Well, who do you like as a coach? Because I'm on Team Dabo. He has won me over. It's like I like that guy's enthusiasm, his infectiousness, that kind of Southern energy. You know, the kind of Marty Smith Southern energy that guys have.
I like the head coach of Minnesota, the one row the boat.
Oh, PJ Fleck?
PJ Fleck. Yes. I like PJ Fleck. Yeah. I like Matt Campbell from Iowa State, who is going to be awesome.
How about Brian Kelly at Notre Dame?
Oh, I hate Brian Kelly.
Jim Harbaugh.
Well, he stopped. Dino Babers. I like Dino Babers.
Dino Babers is good.
Of coaches very quickly?
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury is your head coach. And you know I'm a USC fan. How was he, Zabin? You know I always say white coaches. You know that's my joke. This one has to stun you. A guy who got fired from Texas Tech is now the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
Bro, I hear you, and it's a bad look because he was not. Texas Tech was what, 5-7 this year?
Yes.
And he So a guy that gets fired 5-7 suddenly jumps on a rocket ship to the moon, to the NFL, while going through USC as OC for about 10 days.
35 days.
Unbelievable. It's a bad look, and I hate it because, you know, you get a black coach fired after 1 year, and then a white, good-looking young guy comes up, and it does look bad. However, we've been through other phases in the NFL where they've tried guys. Like, after Tomlin had some success there in Pittsburgh and won a Super Bowl, Raheem Morris suddenly got elevated as a head coach. Why? Young, good-looking, fit black coach that seemed to be like, all right, this guy's dynamic, like Tomlin. And now every team in the NFL, Jay, I'm convinced, is looking for whoever looks like Sean McVay. That's why Matt LaFleur gets the Green Bay job. Matt LaFleur's offense with the Titans was no better than Malarkey's.
I was going to say, Marcus Mariota has regressed under Matt LaFleur. That's another bad hire.
You can't judge that because Mariota's elbow was fucked up all year.
Okay.
But you're right. Like, they just hire who they think looks like the next McVay. And this cycle will go. I'm convinced owners have no idea who they want as a head coach. And I think it's also, at the same time, true, there's no telling who's going to be good at the job or not so good at the job.
We just don't know. What about Miami wanting to trade for John Harbaugh? Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. Someone said Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, had a, quote, burning interest, unquote, in John Harbaugh, to which I replied on Twitter, go see a doctor.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like syphilis to me.
Yeah, right. That burning interest can't be for John Harbaugh. Do we talk about Lamar Jackson and the game last Sunday?
No, we did not. We did not talk about that yet. Okay. Lamar Jackson needs to learn how to throw the forward pass.
You think?
Basically what it could, yes. But
saying he can't pass is not equivalent to outing yourself as a Klan member if you're a white person. Can we say that?
In 2019 it is, Abe, of course.
Well, that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Now here's the problem. Okay, non-racist white guy, like say me, dashingly handsome, follically challenged. I can say, man, Lamar's got a long way to go as a passer. And that's okay. But stone cold white trash Dundalk, Maryland racist motherfucker will be like, man, he trash. He can't throw the ball.
He can't throw the ball like Joe Flacco.
And that's a proxy statement for I hate black people. Am I right about that?
I hate black quarterbacks. That is definitely wrong with our society, 100%.
Yeah. I don't care for black people, but I really hate black quarterbacks on my football team because I am a racist-ass Maryland cracker.
You know, people like – I listen to Pittsburgh radio daily, and just because you're white and you dislike Tomlin does not make you a racist.
Yeah.
But you're deemed one if you don't like Mike Tomlin and you're white and live in Pittsburgh.
I know. And that's why I like to cuddle up to you and Big Tony. Both
Big Tony
Tomlin
hates
haters.
Tomlin. Yes.
If you and Big Tony got into a who hates Tomlin more contest, it'd be a draw after 2 hours of close neck and neck debate.
My man, Big Tony.
Both you guys hate him. Big Tony's like, listen up here, Shorty. Man, this
he
fool.
Trash.
Listen up, Shorty. This fool Tomlin, man, he's going to run this team right into the ground, man. I've been telling you, get his ass out of here forever. You saw that junk that went down, didn't you? Yeah, you did. No further questions. Goodbye. I'm out.
Tomlin, he trash. That's what I was saying. He trash.
I love it. Oh, Big Tony. Speaking of the Steelers, I heard. So, what did you make of Antonio Brown calling Ryan Clark an Uncle Tom on Twitter?
I only use that word. That word only comes out of my holster when necessary.
Like, it's got to be really, really bad.
There's a lot of black people who only use it if they have if that's their last recourse and they have nothing smart to say.
Right.
That was the wrong use of the word Uncle Tom. He was just upset because Ryan Clark called his ass out.
Yeah.
And he did not know how to respond.
Yeah. I heard an anecdote today from Ryan Clark on ESPN that I never heard before. He said he was in the building his last year in Pittsburgh, I guess, when Antonio Brown got paid after his second year. And he told Kevin Colbert, the GM at the time, he said, now that you're paying him, just so you know, you've created a monster. And according to Ryan Clark, the next day after he got his new deal, he went in and cussed out your defensive coordinator, Kevin Gilbride?
Dick LeBeau.
Legendary, respected defensive coordinator, Dick LeBeau. He went, cussed his ass out and said, look here, motherfucker, you can't talk to me now. I'm the fucking franchise, so don't lay your hand on me again. Because LeBeau broke up a fight in practice between AB and another guy.
Yes, you have that story correct. Also, Troy Polamalu, he motherfucked him.
Right. That is a great story right there. That is, I want to say unbelievable, but it is totally believable, though. Because NFL players are alpha predator athletes. And I don't mean that in a criminal sense, just so anyone gets that straight. These are alpha athletes playing the most violent sport we have. And there is so much machismo and testosterone and money. Who's getting paid? Who's not getting paid? Who's a bitch? Who's not a bitch? Who's trying hard? Whose fault did we win or lose? Which coaches are fucking me over? Which ones aren't? It's amazing that any head coach, Jay, can navigate an NFL locker room.
We used to have Kadri Ismail on our show weekly, and he used to talk about the NFL locker room as one of the oddest and best places on the face of the earth. How guys would talk about how guys would buy a car just because another guy had a car. You had to outdo that guy.
Right.
Guys would go broke trying to keep up with guys. A guy who was a mid-level draft pick would try to outspend like Ed Reed. He's like, that's the dumbest thing ever. What's the point of that?
Can I just say this about Antonio Brown, though?
Best motherfucking wide receiver in the league.
He's a fucking terror.
He is. Oh, my.
Fucking route running, game breaking, peel the lid off, catch everything in sight, terror.
Thing we should have seen this coming, the game in Baltimore, 2008 or 2009, when he caught the ball off his helmet down the sideline.
Yep.
For that we should have known right there, this guy's special. Because who does that? Who does that?
Nobody.
The game he stretched the ball out against Baltimore again in the playoffs.
Oh, my God. That was a hell of a catch and a play. All that said, though, in addition, devilishly handsome. I mean, I'm not one to admire another man because I don't go that way, Jay. Not that there's anything wrong with it. But I got to tell you, the pictures of him in his fur coat on the sidelines in week 17, dude is a fucking movie star. Don't you think he's a good looking dude?
He is a handsome, devilishly handsome dude, but a terrible teammate. As Ryan Clark said, all he cared about in the week before game against New Orleans was he had 140 yards, 10 receptions, 14 targets. That's all he cared about.
Right. It's like, look at what I am. This is what I do. We lost the game anyway because probably fucking Big Ben asshole or Tomlin asshole. And guess what? We're done for the year. I'm not going to bother trying to win this game. So fuck everybody and I'm out. But look at me. This is what I can do when our team is still winning. But since we're not going to win, fuck it. I'm not putting any effort in.
Two times the teammates I want to punch. The guy who is just selfish to no end and the guy who after a game, and I had one of these guys on my team, I don't care if we lost. Those are the two I want to punch right away.
All right. Real quick on the national title game. So who do you like on that field? Either team, any position, who do you like on that field? Like the freshman wide receiver number 8?
Oh,
I
made
the one-handed catch.
The Clemson D-line is just awesome. They handled Bama like they were their little brother.
They really did.
And by the way, missing their best player.
Yes, missing their best player and two other guys. Of course, yeah. There might be a widespread roid scheme going on at Clemson, which, hello, you know, is anyone going to get all worked up over that or no?
You just can't be freakishly genetic or genetically freakish.
Yeah, it could be, I suppose.
They can't just be really good.
Could be, possibly. Justin Ross. That's the wide out for Clemson News. From Alabama, went to Clemson anyway. One-handed catch, amazing.
What do you think of quarterback hair?
It's unbelievable. It's the best hair I've ever seen. It's majestic. There's a still photo of him running with the hair flowing, and I'm like, this is a joke. This looks like a cartoon of a guy with great hair. Now, does it look good on a white guy? Not so sure about that.
How about people calling him the best prospect they've ever seen? I heard that at least four times today.
They're making Andrew Luck comparisons. How about the fact they were running his ass on keepers deep into the fourth quarter with a 20-whatever point lead? That was so dumb. I'm like, I know he's young, dumb, and full of cum, as they say, and he's 6'6", 220.
I was going to say 6'6".
Yeah, but still, like, what are you doing? Why are you running him this much? This is bullshit. Don't run the guy. I know he's got 2 years to recover from a blown ACL before he can go pro. I said teams in the NFL should be able to draft guys, even if they're not eligible, and sit on them. And people
the Larry Bird rule.
Yeah, and people laughed at me for that.
At you for a lot of things, Abe.
They do. They laugh, Jay? What I say comes true years later, and they go, you know, Zabe, I'm sorry. I probably should have listened to you.
You ought to write all those down. That should be – remember the book you gave me, the Ted L. Nancy book? The rantings
letters,
of Zabe.
Letters from a Nut.
Yes. You should do that, all your rants.
I've been right about a fair amount of things over the years. I was the first one and the only one that said Spurrier's not going to work. This is a joke. They're like, come on, give it a chance, man, college offense. I'm like, no, Spurrier won in college because he had superior talent. This is the NFL. It ain't going to work. I said that from the word go, and I was fucking right. When they traded for RG3 for the Redskins, I said, this is a disaster. I said, there's no way he can be good enough to justify all the assets you gave up. But then I was wrong about RG3 because I thought he was freakishly mature when, in fact, he was horribly immature and a delusional, narcissistic douchebag. He snowed me so good with the way he presented on a podium.
The only DC sports-centric take that I got right is when they signed Gilbert. And I said on the air,
oh, Jesus.
You can't make a fool the face of your franchise.
Well, he was.
Next thing you know, there was guns
in the locker room and a damn near shootout.
Javaris Crittenden, the jailbird Javaris Crittenden.
Oh, yeah. Deservedly so. How fucked up. Can you imagine if there had been a gunfight? Let's say Crittenden said, I'll be a huckleberry. And like in Tombstone and Val Kilmer, picked up the gun and the two of them actually... bam, 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 shot each other up in the locker room.
We'd still be, that'd be an 8-hour 30 for 30.
Which turned 10 years old, 30 for 30.
I saw that.
Still the greatest thing ESPN has ever done.
Bill Simmons. We got to give him credit for that one.
I'll give him a little bit of credit for that.
That was his brainchild. Yes, they are still worth the price of admission.
All right, I've got an FTG. You may not, so you're going to have a minute. I'll go first if you need to stew on yours. And I'm going to play the theme song right now. You ready, Jay?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Dun, dun, dun. Can you hear it when I put the headphones up to the phone?
I heard it. I heard the Dennis Leary.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right, here's my FTG for the week. There's a new Chipotle that opened up in town out where I live. And so I started going to it, and I got this momentum where I'm like, God damn, I need that Chipotle today. I'd been to the place 3 days in a row for lunch, okay? I order a plain chicken and cheese burrito. Maybe I'll ask for half a spoon of plain white rice, no cilantro, which they have to go in the back and get it out of the warmer and the dish, whatever. But they do it, okay? And they end up charging me full price for the burrito anyway, even though I've foregone all the other stuff you can put inside a burrito. All right? With me so far?
I'm with you.
I get queso with my bag of chips. And usually, at least in this case, after my third day there in a row, I had used up my queso on the burrito itself, and I had a few chips left, and I wanted a little bit more queso. So, mind you, I paid for the queso. I go back to the counter, and I say, can I just maybe get a half a cup more queso? The girl looks over at her manager and says, how much does half a cup of queso cost?
Ooh.
And I go, wait, are you going to charge me for this? She's like, I'm sorry, but we have to. And I said, really? And then the manager said, well, you should just get a whole cup because we don't have a half price. And I did the big eye roll, Jay. And I said, fine. What does it cost? Thinking it cost like 75 cents. Answer?
$3.
$2.47 for a tiny cup of queso. And at that point, I said, you know what? Keep your queso. So to the manager of that Chipotle, fuck that guy.
Is it gold in that queso? Is that what it's made with?
It's unbelievable. You know, the Chipotle that I used to go to outside of the radio station in Rockville was a lot more lenient. The manager there would sometimes give me a free meal. He'd be like, you know what? This one's on me this time. Totally different. They would put a scoop. I would have them put a scoop of chips on top of my burrito in the bag, quote, Five Guys style. That's what the manager or the guy at the Qdoba said. He's like, Five Guys style. Because, you know, at Five Guys Burgers, they put the fries right in the bag on top of your cheeseburger.
I sure do. And it's delicious.
Yeah, exactly. Would they charge me for that scoop of chips? Because I didn't want a whole bag of chips. I wanted one scoop. No, they wouldn't do that.
That's so, good business.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're being penny pinchers, so fuck you, Chipotle. All right. I've used up almost all your time, but I'm going to re-rack the music, though, as you give me your FTG for this week. Who is it, Jay?
There's a guy who fancies himself as an Orioles blogger. His name is Dan Clark. And about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, he had this big prediction on Twitter that Manny Machado was going to sign with the Yankees. Dave, this is no big declaration. There are only two teams that can sign him. But this guy is peacocking like he broke the biggest story in the history of baseball. And I've been following this, and I would love your listeners to go and troll the hell out of him.
Has Manny signed with the Yankees yet?
Manny has signed with nobody.
That's what I thought.
And this guy is just he's like calling out Ken Rosenthal that I outscooped you guys. You didn't outscoop anyone. He hasn't. And by the way, it's no big scoop.
What if it happens?
Manny signs. It's still no big scoop because there's only like the White Sox, the Phillies, and the Yankees. That's it. You're not scooping. You're not outscooping. I hate the internet for people like this. This is why I hate the internet.
So to that guy, you say,
fuck that guy.
Jay, I think that was our best run yet. I appreciate the time. I'm glad that you're doing well. We covered a lot of topics. We solved no great societal issues, but we had some good laughs, and we will check in next week, brother. Thank you.
I will talk to you next Tuesday. Thank you.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
Let's end on this today. The myth is that sports books are cold, cruel, no bullshit enterprises where if they have any way to say you lose on a bet, they're going to say, that's it, sir. You lose. Good day. Not always. FanDuel in New Jersey is paying out both bettors who had Clemson as your national champion and Alabama as your national champion. How is this possible? Here's how. In November, FanDuel announced that all future bettors that had bet Alabama at minus 280 to win the national championship. When Alabama was rolling, they said, you know what? We're going to pay this off now as if it's already happened. Spokesman Kevin Hennessy said, it was a way to reward our customers for betting on Alabama when the odds were really hard to make any money doing it, he said. Well, come to the end of the line and, oh, look at this. Alabama did not win the national championship. FanDuel acknowledged Clemson's win in a statement, jumping on the chance to promote the book's bold moves. Quote, we made history in November when we paid out customers early on Alabama winning the national championship. Even though Bama didn't win, we have no regrets and are excited to make similar bold moves to prove there are more ways to win on the FanDuel Sportsbook. In other words, they're trying to get you hooked. They're trying to lure you in. It's not the best business strategy for an individual bet, but I'm sure the losses all go straight to the marketing department budget. Yeah, sure, whatever. Alabama, Clemson. Wonder if anybody middled it in which they had both Bama and Clemson in futures bets at the same book and won them both. I'm sure somebody probably did. Download, subscribe, comment, like, tell a couple friends. I appreciate it. Zabecast app is absolutely free. Go to your app store and get it. It's got lots of good, useful features. Premium Zabe can be had at zabe.com/premium. Even more additional content every week. Podcasts are the future, and you are here, and thank you for that. Feedback at zabe@yahoo.com. Now go put a bet down on Temple to win the college football championship next year because, hey, you never know. Maybe FanDuel pays that one out as well. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.